Amazing, Calvin.
Amazing, Calvin. Oh, yeah. Well, there's always, like I said, I don't often have discussions like this with people to explain what I've been doing and how it's come about, and I haven't kept notes per se, as we're doing here. So it's been enlightening for me as well, because I'm so used to just having somebody ask me something about physics and say, here's the answer, and then maybe justify it for them to shrug their shoulders and walk away. It's nice to talk about the potential of things and how it all came about. Something off the track of science.
Yeah, and of course the whole amazingness of it all is that it's the discovery tour, and it's not that you produce a ready-made product for others to take away. It's not the equivalent of the fast food restaurant serving junk food because people pay for it, but you're doing the artwork of the sculpture. I'd like that last metaphor which you used, that it is you have this notion and you need to get rid of all the ideas that do not match it, like a sculptor taking away the wood to show the anvil within.
And it feels very much like that to me. I mean, like I said, I had a general science knowledge and what was taught in school, and when I got the idea of the triangle, I could see that it fitted my basic science knowledge, but at no stretch did I know chemistry inside and out, nor did I really, at no stretch did I want to know the mathematics of relativity, especially general relativity, to explain it, or it was all too much effort. But once I started and I could see the basic parts of the equation related back to my work and write it down, I soon found that once that first draft of the book was done, I could more or less file, dump, purge a lot of that information.
Yeah.
Listen to university lectures and push them right to the back of my mind. So the basics of them are still there, but the geometry became what I relied on, and that explained so much more.
I had the similar kind of experience. For me, it was the four-dimensional logic, which is exactly the same, the tetrahedron. But in a way, I looked for scale harmonics of the tetrahedron. So I found separate tetrahedrons, and I didn't see how I could connect them up in the way that you did. But when I started to, my mind switched to that mode of thinking. And probably you had the same, that for a half year I was just laughing when an idea came up, and I realized how wrong it was, that it was totally inside out, it was absolutely upside down, it was totally from the wrong end.
It was absurd.
And it's like a new system of digestion that comes in, which is about flip it around, now flip it around again, now it must be four parts to it, otherwise it doesn't work. There is the opposite, don't forget that, because otherwise it doesn't connect.
So you're putting magnetic north and south and plus and minus charges on my triangles helped a lot when I started building and joining tetrahedra together, because they could only go together so that north and south poles came together and plus and minus charge fields came together, so that the triangles, the tetrahedra, could only go together one specific way. And that
maybe
certain models, and by pure chance it numbering those fascias also showed me that my model for the electron had a charge of 12, negative 12, and made out of 12 pieces, and for a proton was made out of 36 pieces or 9 tetrahedra, and its charge was plus 12, because there's 24 positive and 12 negative ones. So 24 minus 12 is 12, which is as soon as I saw that, I went, well, there's the explanation for electron and positron charge, electron and proton charges. And then when I put the neutron and the electron together and I saw this synchronous rotating converter, I knew the entire universe was engineered. And I knew I could start to explain a lot more with the atom being an engineered electrical device than being a random ball.
For me, it's fascinating because I realized that this tetrahedron is the pixel of the universe. That's as simple as that.
It's the smallest matter.
Yep.
It's the pixel of matter, whereas a triangle is a pixel of light or a pixel of charge. So mass, energy, triangles, tetrahedra is chunks of matter. It's the pixels of all the matter in the universe.
Exactly. And what fascinates me is that, in a way, what I've done fully complements what you have done. I just didn't glue it together to connect it to the electrodynamics of the physics and the atomics. And you've done the details of it and font spectral lines and the whole lot. There are parts where I've, the corners of the field where I never looked into. But I looked into the way it works in the body, the mind, the soul, the spirit, social systems, ecosystems, and a whole lot. And I collected a load of information on that, but I couldn't bring it together. I kept on having these quartets, and I could I can work with them, I can show them, but I cannot explain it. Well, I can explain it, and people can follow it, but there is you have the other part of the story, and it's fascinating.
You're missing the underlying mechanics. There's another gentleman that lives in Spain or Portugal, I can't remember right now. He took a different approach. He knew that the mathematics was like what I describe it. It's just a descriptive language, and he set out to say that there must be something that's bringing about physics in the way that it is so that we can write the math. And then he discovered my work, and a lot like yours, it just gelled for him. So many of the things that he was saying and trying to find a reason for, he'd worked out that it must be geometry that gives us the math, but he couldn't, he didn't know what the geometry was. And then I said, my stuff was on the web, he saw it and he went, wow. He said, this is all about. He says, you've shown me what I was missing, and that was the equilateral triangle. And he says, you've not only shown me, but you've shown how all the different shapes relate to the mathematics. And he's right into it. So, I mean, like, he'd be a good one to sit down, if I was in Europe with yourselves, to sit down, we could do an e-book in conjunction with yourself on the physiological and biological processes, and he could sit in with us and expand on the math side of things, because I've put the math in there, but I haven't taken the approach that a mathematician would take. A mathematician should be able to sit down with my models and my work and write a completely mathematical treatise wrapped tetrionics just for mathematicians, and maybe that's where the other mathematicians of the world will suddenly all sit up and pay attention, because it's written in their language.
Yeah, whereas that's also where I suggested that it would be nice to connect what you do with the work of Peter Rowlands, specifically because he's already done that connection with Vanessa Hill. They showed that what he has found in the algebra of the cosmology, and basically he works with a doubling function, a mirroring process.
I had to read that. Yeah, I saw that this morning.
And Vanessa Hill worked on how the proteins build the DNA, the RNA, the DNA.
Yeah, there's major problems there. I've written a short little paper.
She found what you found.
Doesn't work the way they say. They only chose that sequence because it was mathematically simple, and it might be simple and elegant in maths, but it does not reflect reality.
Yeah, she skipped some of the levels for the simple reason that she'd had some calls by Freemasons who said if she could show them how it worked. And she realized that there was a different interest behind it. Yeah. So she doesn't present all of it as she knows it is. Because she was approached by some people who basically wanted to use it and take it out of circulation, so she got careful with that.
Yeah, I'm often asked by people, usually by people just trying to be smart, but sometimes there's more ulterior motives, why I haven't published my work and why they can't find it on the peer publishing sites. Sometimes it's just a talk down that I'm not game or something like that. I quickly point out to them that at the moment I own the copyright on all my work, which will form the basis of all the textbooks in the future. And there's lots of money to be made out of just owning copyrights on science textbooks. But more importantly, I want it to be given out to the world free, where people can't patent and try and control certain aspects of it.
Yeah.
And the only way you can really do that is to retain the copyright. I'll happily publish in a peer review article or in a science magazine on the basis that I give them a non-exclusive right to publish for a set period of time. But on most of the papers, the first thing they ask you to do is to sign over your copyright, carte blanche, and on forever and a day.
I had that with the man of the Cassis conference. For years I had replaced the transfer of copyright to a sharing of copyright, and after 4 or 5 years he discovered that, and so then he decided that he preferred to get upset with me, but then of course he also knows his wife is psychic, so he knows that there is another link to things. But he just had to get that reflex reflex muscle acting, so to say, while he knows it doesn't work. And on the Earth Bank part of the Planting Paradise website, there will be a section which is called Public Patent. So anybody who publishes something there will have public copyrights. So that the date that it is published is the date that everybody else can copy it, but nobody else can monopolize it.
Yeah, I do something similar. I have my hard copies. Obviously, the net in its archiving system will automatically create a date. Name is called the date of inception or whatever. But I also send hard copies of the work to the state library and the state and federal parliamentary libraries as well, so that there's hard copies of my work at the dates that they were created, so there's never any argument on that side of it.
British Library is also one of those.
Sorry?
British Library is also one of those places which work well as archiving.
Yeah.
And I'm not curiously, so much the tax office too.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not interested, worried about individuals copying it. What I'm worried about is
monopolizing, privatizing, taking it out of circulation.
Just trying to, because it doesn't take much, even patent people, even if you could get a patent, you'd spend the rest of the life and whatever money you made going to court to defend your priority rights on the patent. Read Tesla's work, and the moment he started patenting things, he was forever in court trying to defend that he was the first one to discover his work. It's just ridiculous the number of people that came out of the woodwork saying, I knew this and I invented that before him and here's where I used it. Things like that.
I have a documentary which I saw recently about software patents. It's called Patent Absurdity. And it's about that software is now patented, so phrases within software is now patented and stuff like that. Ghastly.
It's out of control. And in particular, feel is just wrong, because now you've got universities that are trying to do research that could help people with certain problems and cancers and whatever. And they, in one case, they'd done 4 years research. Another university found out the research they were doing and pointed out that they owned the patent rights over the cancer gene they were using in the tests and stopped the 4 years worth of work. Dead cold. End of story.
Yeah, yeah. And also that companies now claim that they have the patent of DNA or DNA fractions of a family of which they are not part. So the only copyright that people have on DNA is when they have sex and they copy it. And
see,
the rest is copy wrong.
The one glimmer of hope I have here is when I rewrite how the codons really work and what the DNA, but specifically what ATGC and U really are, it more or less invalidates the patents that have been granted so far, because glycine, for example, the triple GGG, and adenine and that aren't what they say they are. It is physically impossible to make glycine out of GGG as per the codon table, which means what they're in the DNA, the ATGC, ATGC in the DNA sequencing machines that they're basing these patents on is not ATGC. They've got it wrong. And I'm hoping and praying that when I write the biology book and explain what these markers really are and what these peptides and the dioxys really are, how they come together, it should be a precedent to say the patents are wrong. We're back to day zero, and there will be no more patenting of genes and things like that. Monsanto won't like me, and companies like that, and Pfizer, all these sort of companies won't like me for that, because they've been patenting everything in sight. But they're doing it on the basis, here's what the results are, let's patent it. But they don't know what their issue, what it is that they're trying to patent. I can produce a full-blown 3D model of what I'm shipping the patent board, and I should be able to get the patents thrown out. So
yeah, there is a documentary called Patent for a Pig, and it's about a farmer in Germany who discovered that Monsanto was trying to put a patent on a pig gene, and then he discovered that his pigs already had that gene.
Right.
And that definitely Monsanto had nothing to do with the pig before, because he already had the pigs in the family. So the business problem is not with the Monsanto, but the business problem is with the money.
Yeah.
So there's no, I realized that just as in your work, it's the equilateral triangle, which is the base of it all. At the base of all problems is the superstition of money. Erase the superstition of money and nobody can profiteer of anything anymore.
Yeah. The whole human societal system needs a rework, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why I set up this Planting Paradise website. I still have a lot of work to do on it.
Yeah.
But it is fascinating.
You've got to start somewhere. If everybody goes, it's all too hard, it'd never get done. So I'm just grabbing a few of these patent ones that you were talking about. I'll download them and watch them in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Let me see this. I watched the one yesterday, Michael Tellinger. Conference 2014. He describes how the whole of Africa has circles built with stone which is responsive to light and to sound. So basically energy chargers. And then at the end of the story he goes into the need to get rid of the money system.
Okay. It's, don't get me wrong, money's been a great motivational or incentivizer for human activity, for us to get up off the butts and get out of living in little villages and make things and make the world a better place. But I think it went past its use-by date a century.
Yeah, it's turned into a prison.
So it really is. And I think you can't keep extending a system that's this badly broken and patched up everywhere.
Yeah, I found a solution for that. And it's quite simple. Basically, it's, well, it's what I describe on this page of plantingparadise.org.
Okay.
If you like, I can talk you through it sometimes. Probably easier than reading through it, because there's some further ideas behind it. But basically, the whole idea you already know, because it's the tetrahedron in its inversion dynamic.
Hmm.
By the way, I'm looking at this Principia Geometrica page with 500 items. You did such wonderful work.
The PDF. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's been worked on for 5 years and my computer skills grew as I went, but it did turn out quite well. And plus, being geometric shapes and colors, that helps make it easier to present as well.
Yeah, but it's also people work this because they operate from a feeling. There are people who work from the mind level, and you can see that they piece things together. A lot of my stuff looks like that, and there are people who work from the soul level, and it's always a gestalt, it's always a pattern, it's always a hologram, and your work reflects that.
I can't take credit, it's just, it really is a reflection.
Nah, don't take credit. Are you Calvinist?
Sorry?
Are you Calvinist? Because as a Calvinist, you should be very shy when people compliment you. Calvinists don't want any of that.
I'm a bitzer. I was baptized Methodist, grew up Presbyterian, became Uniting Church, moved over to Baptists, and lately, I just prefer to call myself spiritual, because the work that I'm doing here, my interpretation of God is just one big electrical engineer. And he's just sat down at his drawing board one day and said, a bit of free space over there on that side of the galaxy. If I chuck a lot of these equilateral energies I've made in there, look what I can do. It is just truly amazing.
I discovered that I have some memories from before Earth was inhabited, and I have some memories from before this universe existed. So the first time I ran into that, I didn't quite know what to do with it, so I just accept that I have some memories from before here. But it's just like you say, this is just a virtual reality created out of tetrahedron pixels.
Same way computer games.
Yeah, it's just a computer screen game in which you're part of the software, and get the it is all meant to have an experience of participation in creation and optimization of freedom of choice. And in a way, you describe what a mirror looks like. And as I said earlier, I really would like to interplay with you on showing where freedom of choice operates in the mirror. Practical question, Calvin. Is there a way to download from the drive, Google Drive, onto my disk, that I can download them in one go instead of having them?
Oh, instead of clicking one at a time.
Yeah.
No, they're uploaded separately. The PDF's got all the individuals as one. So instead of having to click each illustration and download one at a time, just download the PDF.
Okay, because it's first I need to go for the templates, the cut and paste.
Yeah.
Get the hands involved.
They are in the Principia. I've got to find them myself. So they're there, yeah. And
so a halfway.
Little article saying determining an exact value of Planck's constant. So that's there now. I've also got another folder which I haven't put anything into at the moment called Masters. And I was thinking of putting the PDFs that you've got there now are the ones on the web.
Yeah.
But they're all under 25 megabytes each for the PDFs, so that Google and Facebook will upload them. Anything larger and they won't upload them.
I can give you the space on the server that I have. So if you need more space on that, basically I can upload any size.
Yeah, well, what I'll do is I'll, once I've rechecked that the, what I call the high resolution PDFs, accurate and I've got everything correct on them, I'll upload them to my G drive and I'll send you a link. But bear in mind, that can be up to like a gigabyte in size as a PDF.
Oh, some, yeah, I have no problem with that.
Some PDF readers won't open a gigabyte PDF. The PDF reader just with the computer just goes, no, I can't open it, it's too big.
Alternatively, I can give you access to an FTP port on the Science of Life website.
Yeah, and I can transfer it straight out of FileZilla or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you working on Mac or on PC?
I work on, sadly, PC.
Yeah, because on PC you have this little program, I don't know if you know, it's called Total Commander.
Yeah, I got it on my Android.
You're one of the clever dudes too. You immediately know a pocket knife when you see it.
Yeah, well, I self-taught myself PCs and electrical because I did data comms and telecommunications work, so building a computer is not a big thing. And I had custom ones for the fire and rescue service to get them up and running. Yeah. So I always run on pirated Windows software and all the rest, but I always use the PCs. Never had a Mac. The one Mac I had before the iPhone, the iPod I gave away to my son, didn't like the layout and the way I had to do things their way. But
absolutely, yeah.
Transfer stuff around and do things, and that's no big deal. If I don't know, I soon pick it up. But the big problem I found was most of the social media sites couldn't handle the really nice, high-quality stuff, which was okay in a way because it meant what's out there that people are reading is still legible. It's quite, there's no blurriness or anything.
Yeah.
It can be searched for, you can still search for photons and it'll just take you to the pages in each one. So that's great. But it also meant that the my really high resolution ones, which would be what you use for printing books, I still have. So if down the track the people that, I got two publishers at the moment chasing publish a book, but they want me to pay for it. And I said, why would I be paying for a book that's going to be the book in all of science? Plus they want
if you like, it is possible to set up the other way around, that people can register for getting the book and that they basically prepay it. So you just on your turf say, well, anybody who wants to have the book, publishing cost is so much, sign up and pay a share, and then the more people who sign up, the less they pay together for getting the book.
I looked at doing that with a Kickstarter, where the Kickstarter funding would be enough, would be $12,000, which would allow me to publish.
I think that with Kickstarter you lose quite a bit of money to them.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't take it very far, but
why don't you do it on your own website?
I could do that, but what I need is the publisher to print the hard copy. And
yeah,
the best
but,
solution
but people can list up if they want to have a hard copy. You just say printing a hard copy costs 1500 or maybe 500 or maybe 300. How many people want to have a hard copy?
I couldn't even tell you how many people actually visit tetrionics.com. I've had 3 emails off tetrionics.com itself compared to thousands
of
emails.
One of them was mine.
Yeah.
And very much one of them was mine, and thank you for responding.
That was unique. When it came in, I thought, wow, somebody's looked at the website. Because, like I said, the bulk of my communication comes in off Tumblr, Pinterest, Google Plus, and Facebook. They're the ones where I get 99% of the inquiries from. And that's what keeps me busy. But down the track, see, the publishers have been chasing me for 2 years as I'm doing the revisions. There was no way I was going to publish the book before the revisions.
Yeah.
There's no way I can afford $4,000, which is the package I need. And that's a print-on-demand publisher. So it's 12 grand for me to send it out. Then I've still got to muck around with proofing it and everything like that for the 5 books. And then once that's done, I then have to sit down and think, how much do I charge for a hard copy, one of these books? I don't know. Some textbooks are free.
Maybe turn it around and just say printing it costs so much. Sign up if you want to have a print copy and you just pay the share. And then at some point when it gets less than say 15 per share, you just tally everything on support for your work.
Well, I didn't quite follow that last bit.
On the site where people find you most, you just say, okay, this is the book. If you want to have a hard copy of it, it costs how much to print?
It's $12,000 to set it up.
Far too expensive. I think.
I know, but there's reasons for that.
Yeah.
That publishing way allows me to keep my copyright. It allows me to print on demand. I don't need to print 5,000 books initially. They print them as the individuals order them. And it also allows me to turn around if I want to change some of the content over time. Say something major changes and I need to change things around. I can do those changes electronically and it doesn't affect the print run. It's the best of all worlds. Whereas a normal publisher, you give them your $12,000, they print the books, they send it to me and say, do with it as you please.
Yeah.
So I think
if you like, we could pick that up some other time, because I was the final editor of the Dutch Journal for Integral Healthcare for a number of years. And it went from one publisher to another, and now there is a new one. And they also have a line of limited publications, print. And the typesetters for that, they also had a connection to it. Plus, one of my friends is the head of a homeopathic apothecary in the Netherlands, and he has done some printing stuff. But then maybe we can at some other point think it through, and after that I could connect up with them and see what prices and things they have, because I know that just like you said, they just print it and then either they send it out or they send it to you. And of course, there's also in Taiwan, it's, there's the World Scientific. One of my friends had her books printed there. But then they actually sell it, they market it.
Yeah, well, there were other options as well, things like that. But my interest was in getting them the book up to date and ready for what I considered public consumption.
Yeah.
But I knew at some stage I'd have to tackle it, and I hadn't done a great deal of research apart from what you pick up when you're looking at it. And it took me a month or two to get the basics straightened out in my head, at which point I thought I would have been better off just continuing on with my work to get it done. But I did learn about keeping the copyright and all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, because 99% of them out there, the first thing they say is, give us your copyright. And I just had no interest in doing it. But
do you know anything of the Pirate Party in Sweden?
Sorry, a lot of them wanted to then know how much I was going to sell the books for, but I had no idea how much these books would be worth. Ultimately, I did know that if the theory took off, what, how much would a paper or a publisher pay to be able to publish Einstein's
manuscripts?
I mean, like, they'd pay him, no questions asked, and that's what will happen here. I own the copyright to all the science textbooks for the rest of the world as it moves on. Yeah. You won't be able to draw a picture of an atom without me saying, I own the copyright on it.
Yeah.
They have to get the color coding right, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So even that in itself is a huge industry, and it'll generate money, reward for effort. But everything that requires me learning something about I haven't been trained in takes me away from doing the things that I could be doing.
Yeah.
So I opted for the lazy approach. I copyrighted my work and put them into PDFs.
It's wonderful, and it's the best way, because we live in a time where money needs to go out and where values need to come back in, and that's also where Michael Tellinger, in his BEM presentation, if you can't find it, let me know, and I'll look at the link for you.
Shoot me a link, because that way I'll.
And it's also, do you know the Pirate Party in Sweden?
Yeah, I know the party as well as the Pirate Bay.
Because the Pirate Party, basically, they have this whole understanding about copyright and how it went wrong.
Yeah. I read a lot of the work. I went into the work on WikiLeaks as to how they were doing things.
Yeah.
And watched them as they showed how you shouldn't do things. Ideally, set it up like a dedicated petition on the Pirate Bay server somewhere, do a deal with the guys themselves because of the quality of this information that I'm handing out to them. And just set aside a small petition to load the good quality files onto Pirate Bay itself, so it becomes one of their promoted downloads, and they'll get a fortune out of it as people suddenly realize what it is that's on their website. And the big versions or the small versions, individual illustrations, all that sort of stuff, like we were saying with the Hollow Universe.
I'd set up a foundation quite a while ago, in 2002, and basically for the purpose of having a legal construct in which I can navigate independently from the taxation system, but within the financial system. And then, of course, it is possible for people to do the tax write-offs and spoon money over, which otherwise they would have to pay for taxes.
Yeah. I don't want to avoid tax, but I don't want to pay more than my fair share as usual. And it's nice to dream of having accounts and traveling through Europe, giving discussions and earning money and picking up Nobel Prize. But after I think about it for a few hours, I then come back down to earth and think, well, I'll worry about that when it's just like...
Yeah, true, but because there are some essential changes needed, and I'm still working on getting them ready on the Planting Paradise bit, but I first have to tame the website software on that.
Yeah.
I now have a Mac Mini which can run Debian, so that I can run the Azure project software. And with that, I hope that I can put all the Planning Paradise different websites together in one system. You get into it, and that, for example, you can just set up your teaching class in the whole university and have it all run from there.
Yeah, well, ultimately, if you can set up a Holo University site for Tetrionics, and I can find some way with my copyrights and stuff, or people get excited about my work enough to say, okay, come over and do a lecture here and another lecture in another country or a few universities, I'd love nothing better than to get out of this chair and travel through Europe and India and America,
yeah,
build little mini fusion plants like Johnny Appleseed dropped these apples. I'll yeah. build these power plants and spread them around the country for everyone yeah. to make use of. Yeah. And spend my days doing that. That would sit me down to the ground. I've 5 years sitting in this room, staring at a computer screen. I could do with another 10 or 20 years walking around enjoying the sunshine.
Let's get on to that then. Just a practical thing, Calvin. My bladder says that I'd better go to the loo for a moment. Yeah. I'll be back just a moment. Or if you want to round off and go do something else, let me know.
I was just about to say it's 12:30 here. So 2:30 here. So if you want to call it a night, we can call it a night and organise another session.
Okay. When would you be available again?
Tomorrow's busy. That leaves tomorrow, Thursday. More or less, most nights, except for when I go out and have pet days like this. So tomorrow's no good for me, but any other time after that suits me.
Okay, because I still have some of my surprise questions for you.
Yep, enjoy that.
Great. Calvin, thank you so much for the work that you do.
Well, thank you as well, because like I said, I do get quite a bit out of having this form of discussion as opposed to the normal ones. It helps elaborate, it helps clear my own mind up, get things straight, and discussing what other people are doing in their own gives me direction, you know, like we just did with the physiological fields and things like that.
Yeah, it's fascinatingly simple. It took me years to work it out, but then I met those people who got out of the university and are desired never to go into it, finding the same. And I can just unfold it for you, and it's probably falling in place.
Yeah, we can write a double paper on it and do it up as an e-book and throw it up there as a piece of the puzzle solved.
Yep. Okay, I'll come back to you day after tomorrow then.
Yeah,
basically same starting time.
Yeah, what time do we start tonight?
Here it's 1:00.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was 5.5 hours. It's now 5:30 here.
I don't know. Well, 5.5 hours would have been.
Yeah.
Must have been about 10:00. No.
Yeah.
9:00. 9:00 here it would have been.
Okay. So you see me pop up again. Great.
Yeah.
Thank
but
you,
anyway,
good man.
If you don't see me typing online when you get on tomorrow, just ring the number and I'll hear it ringing.
Okay.
Okay. I'll talk to you then.
Wonderful. Hey, very enjoyable. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you. Till next.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.